Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Our identity is no longer primarily in a place, in all those things that we once held dear, that have been taken from us, that have become shaky. Our identity primarily is in Jesus. And we stand firm in that identity. And it's really important that we do know what we believe. Really important. Because the truth is that we do behave what we believe. What we really believe in the depths of our being, that's what guides our behavior. That's what shapes us. If you really believed that the world was flat, you'd be very careful when you went out in your boat. Because you believe that there's an edge to it and you could fall off that. So if you really believed that, you would be so careful, just in case there's a drop over the edge. What you believe transforms your behavior. If you really believe that lions are gentle, tender, loving animals, then you will stick your head in its mouth. Otherwise, it's probably a risky strategy. What you believe governs how you behave. It's true of these things. It's also true of our Christian lives. If we really believe that we have been redeemed, we've been bought back, not with, as Peter says, perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, if that's what we really believe, that will transform our lives. Folks in Peter's time would have been familiar with slave markets. They may well have seen or even known slaves who were bought out of slavery. They were redeemed from that slavery with silver and gold. A price was paid and that slave was set free. Can you imagine what goes on in the head and heart of that slave? Can you imagine how they will think about the person who paid the price for them? It will transform them. And Peter says, do you know what? You weren't redeemed. You weren't set free with things that will go like silver or gold. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And if we really know that, if we really believe that, it will totally transform our lives. Totally transform our lives. Nothing will ever be the same again. From that point when we realize what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So in this little passage which Hilary read for us just a few minutes ago, Peter calls us to be set apart, just like the brushes, set apart. Set apart from sin and impurity, but set apart to God. Taken away from all those things that are wrong and brought back into that relationship with God for which we were made. And that's a remarkable thing. This is the God. Habakkuk says that this God his eyes are too pure to look on evil. He cannot tolerate wrong. This is the God who wants us to come to him, even though he knows what we're like. This is the God who calls us to be holy because he is holy. Verse 15 of this little passage simply says, be holy. Why? Because I am holy. And you are set apart to reflect something of who I am. God calls us to be holy because he is holy. Now, holy does not mean being irrelevant, as sometimes people have worked it out that way, and they live their lives in a way that just doesn't connect with anybody or anything, totally irrelevant. It doesn't mean being out of touch. It doesn't mean being aloof and looking down, holier than thou. It simply means being set apart. It means being like Jesus. Be holy because God is holy. But that's a big ask. If God simply sent a message this morning that said, okay, you folks gathered in Ballywillan, I want you to go out and be holy, we would be left wondering, how do we do that? At least I hope we would. How do we do that? That's a big ask to be holy. And so we need to look at these commands. And one of the interesting things is, twice in this little passage, there's one little word that occurs. It's in chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 1, and it's simply, therefore. And again, whenever you see therefore in the Bible, you need to ask the question, what's it there for? Therefore changes things. Before we're told to be holy, God says, therefore be holy. What does that mean? It means that something went before it. And here it is. Not that one. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. We're called to be holy. If you go back to verse 3 in chapter 1, we read simply that God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Therefore, go and be holy. All of this is true. All that Peter has painted for us about what Jesus has done for us is true, and in the light of that, therefore, go out and live lives that reflect it. Behave what you believe. Therefore, at the beginning of chapter 2, we simply read, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Therefore, you've been told everything that Jesus has done for you. You've been reminded that you weren't bought with pounds and pence, with silver and gold. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, go out and live holy lives. Go out and live lives that will turn heads. Go out and live lives that will make a difference where God has placed you, in your home, in your street, in your workplace, a golf course, wherever else you go. Go out and live lives that will make people stop and think. Be holy because God is holy. It's a wonderful thing. As you read through the Bible, there's always a statement of fact before God gives us a command. The way it's often stated is that there is an imperative before, the indicative before the imperative. There's a statement of fact. Here's the fact Jesus has died for you. Here's the fact Jesus has purified you by his blood. Here's the fact Jesus has set you free by his precious blood. Now, in the light of that, go and live holy lives. The imperative, the command, follows the indicative, the statement of fact. Because of who you are in Jesus, be holy. Because the God who is at work in you is holy, you too should be holy. And so we're called simply to behave what we believe. And often that means going against the flow. I'm sure we've all seen these wonderful pictures of salmon leaping up waterfalls, just the effort it takes to go against the flow. Because here's the truth, we don't just drift into holiness. We can't just sit here and decide, yeah, you know, that's something I would really like to happen someday. I would really like my life to be Christ-like. I hope that happens. And we hope somehow that we will drift into holiness. A salmon that's not swimming drifts away completely. It doesn't get to where it should be. It doesn't get to what it should be. We will never drift into holiness. You have to be intentional. You have to be resolved as we work towards holiness. And the reason is this: the currents all around us, the currents that we experience day by day, are all pushing us away from holiness. How much of what we watch on television or streaming or whatever else, how much of what you watch encourages you to holiness? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be watching things that entertain us when we enjoy, but how much of what you watch encourages you to holiness, and how much of what we see pushes us away from holiness? We need to be intentional. These currents push us away from holiness towards the values of a world that is broken and fallen. They push us towards an easy path. This will be an easier thing to do rather than going against the flow. Just go this way. Just do this. Just behave in this way. And the easy path. And we end up living those lukewarm lives. And if you remember from the book of Revelation, Jesus spits it out. I wish you were either hot or cold, not lukewarm. We need to be intentional as we go against the flow. So how do we do that? We need to be intentional about reading our Bibles. We read our Bibles not just to fill our heads with facts and information, but that so through His Word, God will transform us. We need, as we read our Bibles, to ask that the Holy Spirit would help us to understand what we read, help us to apply these things to our lives so that we can live out what we believe. We need to be intentional. There are parts of the world where people just delight in having a little scrap of Scripture. They have a page that's been torn out of a Bible, and that's all they have. And they read it, and they read it, and they read it. And I'm not going to ask how many Bibles we have in our houses here, but very often they're nice on shelves and drawers. We need to be intentional about reading, about asking God by His Holy Spirit, not just to read the words, but to live the words. We need to be intentional about Bible reading. We need to be intentional about praying. How will we ever find God's will for our lives? How will we ever know His grace and strength in our lives unless we build that relationship with Him? Unless we seek first His righteousness, His kingdom, as we pray. There are opportunities to come together to pray. On Wednesday evening, yesterday morning, our elders met to pray for the life and work of our congregation. There are prayer groups, there are prayer triplets, there are lots of opportunities to come together to pray. Please, please take those opportunities, but pray on your own. Every week in our bulletin, there are prayer pointers there to help you pray. Sometimes people say, "Stephen, I don't know what to pray for." There's a page full of prayer points in here. As we pray, as we seek God's will, we need to be intentional about reading our Bibles, about praying together. We need to be intentional about worshiping. Worship helps us put God back in His rightful place in the very center of our lives. Here, as we gather for an hour, our focus is not on a building, our focus is not on each other, our focus is on the God who in Jesus Christ calls us to come to Him, calls us to be holy. Worship puts God back where He belongs, in the very center of our lives. Maybe here, it may be, as you walk on the beach and you are stunned by the beauty of creation, there's no other response than maybe not to sing out loud, but to worship God and to give Him thanks and praise. Worshiping, being intentional about it, having fellowship, going against the flow on our own is a difficult thing to do. And so God has given us each other that we can encourage each other. We can encourage each other to be set apart from the things that are wrong to the things that are good. Set apart for God. Encourage each other to be holy. We need to be intentional. We will never drift into being like Jesus Christ. We will never drift into being holy. It goes back to what we believe. Do you believe that God is holy? Do you believe that God gave his only son for you? Then we need to thank God for Jesus. We need to trust in Jesus as Savior. We need to remember that verse, God's eyes can't look at evil. We need to give thanks that when we trust in Jesus, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin, he sees Jesus in his righteousness. We need to behave what we believe. And by his grace, we become holy, just as God is holy. By his grace, we behave what we believe. What do you truly believe? Let's pray together. Lord, our heads are full of lots of different facts. We are bombarded by information from lots of different places and people, from lots of different sources. And so at times, Lord, we struggle with what we really do believe. So help us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, to be able to filter through all of those facts and to find again that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. To discover once more that the God whom we worship is the God who is holy. And to be reminded then that you set us apart to be something like you. Lord, forgive us that that is so often not the case. Transform us, we pray, so that day by day we may become more and more like Jesus, and then truly behave what we believe. And all this we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.